Chapter 27. Stabbed it, overhand, with the knife, like a mortal enemy, then took the knife out, wiped it on his sleeve, tore the pudding asunder with his fingers, and ate it all up. The remembrance of this man with the pudding remains with me as the remembrance of the most spectral person my houselessness encountered. Twice only was I in that establishment, and twice I saw him stalk in, as I should say, just out of bed, and presently going back to bed, take out his pudding, stab his pudding, wipe the dagger, and eat his pudding all up. He was a man whose figure promised cadaverousness, but who had an excessively red face, though shaped like a horse's. On the second occasion of my seeing him, he said huskily to the man of sleep, "Am I red tonight?" he uncompromisingly answered. "My mother," said the specter, "was a red-faced woman that liked drink, and I looked at her hard, when she laid in her coffin, and I took the complexion." Somehow, the pudding seemed an unwholesome pudding after that, and I put myself in its way no more. When there was no market, or when I wanted variety, a railway terminus with the morning mails coming in, was remunerative company. But like most of the company to be had in this world, it lasted only a very short time. The station lamps would burst out ablaze, the porters would emerge from places of concealment, the cabs and trucks would rattle to their places, the post office carts were already in theirs, and, finally, the bell would strike up, and the train would come banging in. But there were few passengers and little luggage, and everything scuttled away with the greatest expedition. The locomotive post offices, with their great nets, as if they had been dragging the country for bodies, would fly open, as to their doors, and would disgorge a smell of lamp, an exhausted clerk, a guard in a red coat, and their bags of letters. The engine would blow, and heave and perspire, like an engine wiping its forehead and saying, "What a run it had had." And within 10 minutes the lamps were out, and I was houseless and alone again. But now, there were driven cattle on the high road near, wanting, as cattle always do, to turn into the midst of stone walls, and squeeze themselves through 6 inches width of iron railing, and getting their heads down, also as cattle always do, for tossing purchase at quite imaginary dogs, and giving themselves and every devoted creature associated with them a most extraordinary amount of unnecessary trouble. Now too, the conscious gas began to grow pale with the knowledge that daylight was coming, and straggling workpeople were already in the streets, and, as waking life had become extinguished with the last Pyman sparks, so it began to be rekindled with the fires of the first street corner breakfast sellers. And so by faster and faster degrees, until the last degrees were very fast, the day came, and I was tired and could sleep. And it is not, as I used to think, going home at such times, the least wonderful thing in London, that in the real desert region of the night, the houseless wanderer is alone there. I knew well enough where to find vice and misfortune of all kinds, if I had chosen, but they were put out of sight, and my houselessness had many miles upon miles of streets in which it could, and did, have its own solitary way. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.